All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Thursday, December 14th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Oh, nice intonation, flex. What's the word for what you just did? For how making your voice go up and down? What is that like?
I don't know, but I'm experimenting with a radio voice for this one today, Doug. So get ready for the podcast of the century. Moving on into the cash game plays.
All right, yeah, we're gonna talk some week 15 cash game plays here for FanDuel and DraftKings. Kind of break it down by position. Talk about some of the guys that are standing out to us. And I think it's going to be a pretty chalk week in terms of just like industry plays. I suspect it's a little bit of a different week because we have the Thursday Saturday slate that comprises three games. So there's two game tonight, like always, and then there's two Saturday games, so that eliminates some of the teams, and then the Sunday night and Monday night games, obviously, for both sites, FanDuel and DraftKings, now aren't available on the main slate either. So it kind of, I've said this in the week 14 recap, but it more feels like a bye week than any, or like a bunch of teams are on byes because just the player pool is diminished, and we get some of the best fantasy performers for the whole season on the main slate today. This week. So I do think we're going to see, some higher ownership on some guys. And as always, we're from DFSR.com, DFSR.com/NBA will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, NBA, well, NFL for last couple weeks, and then the playoffs, NBA, and then MLB when that time comes around. So go check that out and get a member chat room where James and I are talking. And really just the whole community is talking pretty much the whole day, and we're there around leading up to the major locks for all the sports, just kind of giving advice and crowdsourcing some information. So it's a great thing to check out. It's free for 3 days and then $34.95 a month after. You're all good to go. All right, quarterback. I mean, it kind of felt not icky, but it didn't feel like I was putting in a lot of work to write these picks. Like some weeks it kind of takes me a while to go through and really say, you know, this guy or, you know, just trying to make these like edge decisions in the article, which probably isn't a great use of my time. But this week did not feel that way because, I mean, quarterback, you just get Russell Wilson, who is really not all that expensive, $8,400 for him on FanDuel, $7,300 on DraftKings. And now that Carson Wentz is down, I mean, he's just a runaway leader for fantasy points at quarterback, and the price hasn't really moved that much. I mean, he's coming off a week against Jacksonville where he wasn't his best game, and he was still kind of good. Do you think Wilson is just the guy people just prioritize in cash games this week, just because? I kind of just think they just can, and I just don't know.
Yeah, Wilson, by the way, was awesome last week. Like on just in terms of a fantasy points per dollar basis, like 25 fantasy points against Jacksonville is already excellent. And on an $8,400 salary, you're just not finding a deal like that elsewhere. So moving him over into a much better matchup against the Rams, I think the argument people will make is that he was pretty crappy against them when they met earlier this season. But this one's at home. He's just been such a steady diet of 24 plus fantasy points, really for every game since that Rams game on October 8th. So yeah, I love Wilson here. I think he should be the cash game chalk. I'm not sure if he will be because I'm week in, week out surprised to see how low his ownership is.
Yeah. We basically played him like eight weeks this year or something like that in cash games or something, some insane amount. I mean, it was basically him, Deshaun Watson. No, you know what? Actually, it wasn't that many because I take that back because we were just playing Aaron Rodgers, a steady diet of Aaron Rodgers for the first couple of weeks as well. So maybe Wilson's been more of a come lately thing. And actually Aaron Rodgers is back this week. And I didn't write him up because just coming back from the injury, even though it's Rodgers, I'm still fine taking a wait and see approach, especially too, because I always get a little worried about quarterbacks whose big part of their game was running, or at least a significant part of their fantasy impact was running, and are coming back from injury. Cause I always wonder if they're just going to be a little less willing to do something like that. And that's my concern with Rodgers. But yeah, Wilson, now that Wentz is out, Wilson, in terms of fantasy scoring on the season, he's like, I don't know, 45, 50 points above the next highest guy in Alex Smith. So losing Watson and Wentz has made him just the runaway favorite. And I think you're right. We've been wrong about his ownership in the past, and it could not be as high. The second guy I wrote up was Cam Newton. Now, I caveat this by saying I greatly prefer Russell Wilson. So this is another one of the situations where I would have been happy just writing up one guy. And then a bunch of the other guys to me are like GPP plays. Cam is interesting mostly on DraftKings. Now he's 900 less on DraftKings. And Cam, I mean, how much do we want to factor this in? Cam has been running an absolute ton this season. He's by far the highest. He's by far the quarterback with the highest, most amount of rushing yards. He's got 585 yards. That's 100 more than the next closest guy in Wilson. And it's 250 more than the number three guy in Tyrod Taylor. So he's been like half of a running back this season. Now the passing hasn't been all that good, but the rushing really has raised his floor pretty considerably. Would we consider going this route on DraftKings, knowing that we're going to get some of the savings, and that is going to matter here, I think, on DraftKings this week?
Yeah, well, it just depends. I mean, he does have 330 passing yards and three touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. This guy, he's half a running back, but he's also half a quarterback, and that's, I think, kind of the problem. The price is pretty cheap on DraftKings, and it does matter to get what effectively turns out to be around 5 fantasy points for free on the running. Like, actually, it's more than that. If you include the rushing touchdowns, it's more like probably like 6 or 7 fantasy points for free. So that's a lot. I mean, if you tack 6 or 7 fantasy points onto an otherwise bad quarterback, you can really do some damage. Obviously, you're not going to play him for 500 less on FanDuel, but
no.
On DraftKings, and oftentimes just on DraftKings, the savings matters a little more. Like, you'll see a lot more lineups on DraftKings that have someone who's like sort of just a backup or a wide receiver three, or, you know, some speculative timeshare running back. Like, on a site like that, if you can go up from one of those guys to a real player, then maybe you consider it. Don't be concerned about the questionable tag on Newton, by the way. That's simply maintenance based on his shoulder surgery from March. So he'll play. He'll probably do what he has been doing, which is not passing very well and running a little bit. So.
The Green Bay defense is pretty bad against the pass, like well below average. They let up a season best game to DeShone Kizer last week, who's one of the worst quarterbacks in all football. So they're just not a good defense. And again, I greatly prefer Wilson here. Right now, when you run lineups for the main slate on our site, Cam does show up in the first lineup, but Wilson shows up in the second lineup. And essentially what you end up choosing is like what you said, do I want to just pay for maybe a slightly less safe skill position player and then get wet in the safety of Wilson, or kind of go the other way? And I suspect in the end, we just end up with Wilson everywhere. And that's probably just the end of the story. But like I said, just because contractual DFSR contractual limits, you had to get at least 2 quarterbacks in there.
I think on Newton too, like to exercise caution, even using stats like how Green Bay has been against the pass, like he's gotten fewer than 180 passing yards in 5 of the last 6 weeks. So like the passing matters a little bit, but you're really looking for the rushing yards if you think Newton's going to go off. And I think he still can go off, by the way, like in a big game where everything breaks correctly, like you can play him. But yeah, it's going to be really tricky. I mean, what about a guy? So you're considering Newton. What about just like Roethlisberger at roughly the same price on FanDuel? You don't like him just straight up better than Newton?
Yeah, he's close. He just at times gets burned by if they're leaning on Bell too much. I think there's a case. I think there is a strong case, though. I thought about Roethlisberger. There's a strong case for just stacking just all 3 Pittsburgh guys there in cash. And I do actually think that is the route that some people will take. I think that gives you a pretty high floor considering who they're playing. So, yeah, he's close. He just, yeah, again, for our system's purposes, it's very hard. If you don't really run, it is tough. Like that running matters a lot more than people think it does, or that people factor in, I think, on a weekly basis. So I think that's it. And all that being said, I still think it probably is pretty close with Roethlisberger. And I really would only do it because I just knew we're going to talk about these other 2 guys in a second. I knew I was just taking basically the entire Pittsburgh team, and their fantasy scoring is so concentrated that you probably don't get completely burned with Roethlisberger in that situation. So yeah, there's a pretty strong case for him as well. Let's go to talk about the running backs too, because I think Le'Veon Bell is just mispriced at this point. I don't think there's any way to put it. He's too cheap. And I know that's crazy to say about a guy that's $9,400, but and the most expensive running back on the slate, $300 more than Kamara. But his production relative to, especially like the amount that he touches the ball relative to like the next closest guy, if they're basing on things like that, then he should be like $10,500 or something like that. It's his usage is so far and away better. Like, and I wrote this in the picks, it kind of doesn't like he's completely like, people want to say matchup proof, and that's like a silly word because I don't know if there's some matchup that could stop a guy, but for him, he's like completely game script proof. Like if they're winning, he carries the ball 30 times, and if they're losing, he carries the ball 15 times and gets 10 targets in the passing game. Like 25 touches for him is the floor. If you look at
double digit targets in 3 of the last 4 weeks, like
that's what I mean.
This guy's a wide receiver and a full running back. Like that's the crazy thing.
Well, I was saying, so like, if you look at his, if you look at his usage, he, let me just pull this number. Shoot, I had it right in front of me. He's 22% more opportunity than the second most used player in the NFL. So he's already 22% higher. That's and so if you go down, 22% in terms of price, you get down into like the $7,500 range of guys. Like you get into like the Jamal Williams kind of like range of pricing. And if you just look at like, just, if you just take those two numbers, which I guess is like a little bit fuzzy math, but not really. He's completely, like, he's just too cheap, right? Like he's just, he's used so crazily. Is there any reason to fade him at all in this game?
No, I don't think so. I, you know, it's going to be, it should be a pretty high scoring matchup. Vegas likes the total here. He's been highly used, to your point, in basically every game this season. Pittsburgh has every incentive to just roll out everything in the kitchen sink, and I think that they'll do that. So, yeah, I think Bell, I'm sure we'll talk about Brown later. This is also just, by the way, just not to harp too much on Roethlisberger, I think their increased use of Bell in the passing game is another feather in Roethlisberger's cap right now, because if you look at the last 4 weeks, like 40-plus pass attempts in each of the last 4 weeks, up to 66 last week. I think that a lot of people are going to be low on Roethlisberger's attempts just based on averaging over the course of the season. But it looks like the plan has just slightly changed there. But that only favors Bell, by the way. Like, I'm just as happy that for him to get his usage out of the passing game as the running game, because he's going to be better on a yards per touch basis that way. So, yeah, Bell's great. Roethlisberger, I think, is good. I think Brown's great, too. Pittsburgh's a really, really nice fantasy sink right now.
I had set Roethlisberger's passing attempts at 39. I think it was... That's a little higher than the season average, but I know the season average is a little bit skewed because that 66 attempt performance is like an outlier one that I don't really want to. It's good to know that he was throwing a lot, but you can't. It's hard to factor that game into like a season long average of pass attempts because it's just, that's just a completely, completely crazy.
Yeah, but what about the 14 or 24 and 25 passing attempt games he had in the middle of the season when people were banged up? Like, isn't that, aren't those just as much of an outlier? Like, he threw.
Yeah, fair enough. That's what I'm saying.
Against Jacksonville.
Again, I'm still setting it over his career. I'm setting it over his. I still set the number at over his career. Or excuse me, his season long average. I'm just saying that like that one game. I agree. You're correct. Those other games are sort of like there too. I mean, the better number would be like the median, and I bet that's somewhere around 39 or 40. All right, the other running back I have on the list here is Kenyon Drake. We got real lucky in the Kenyon Drake pricing algorithm here because the prices for Sunday this week's games have been set before his game against the Patriots, and so because since they were the Monday night game and he went off, I don't believe he would have been 6,500 on FanDuel and 5,800 on DraftKings if that game had been played at 1 o'clock on Saturday, except other than 9 o'clock or excuse me, 8 o'clock at night. On Monday night. So do we feel safe with Drake here? Not a great matchup against Buffalo, but he strikes me as the exact kind of like, he's has all the opportunity now for a team and they seem pretty clear on what they plan to do with him. And his price just doesn't, for me, just doesn't reflect that opportunity at all.
Yeah. I think that's spot on. 2 weeks in a row, you know, in bad game scripts generally, and a terrible matchup against Denver. Excellent in both of those games. He's getting absurd opportunity. It's the only thing really that's worked in any sort of definitive fashion for Miami this season, outside of maybe passing to Jarvis Landry. So yeah, I think Drake, phenomenal cash game play, 6,500. Absurdly cheap, and we've seen that Buffalo can be run on by even inferior running backs like Frank Gore. So throwing potential weather concerns that are always there in Buffalo, and Drake just seems like, yeah, easy cash game inclusion.
There's no line in that game right now, and I'm not sure if they're just like waiting on quarterback news like Tyrod Taylor. I'm not exactly sure why there's no line. This is getting pretty late in the week. I mean, this is worth recording this Thursday morning. To not have a line in this game at this point, it really must be the Tyrod Taylor news, but I was under the impression that he was just starting, so I'm not exactly sure like kind of what they're waiting on here. Real quick, we can talk about these guys in the game by game breakdown, but usually we're looking at home favorites in terms of home big favorites are really the running back secret sauce usually, just in terms of just like this is positive game scripts. The Saints right now are minus 16 favorites against the Jets at home this week. Is there any consideration for guys like Ingram or Kamara here, just based on just that kind of line and the idea that they might just be running the entire game?
Yeah, I kind of like Ingram actually as an offbeat big tournament play, because I still think the Kamara bubble is waiting to burst. And obviously, you know, you can't say that it burst last time because he left the game with a concussion. But I think that if they're up by that much, I would be stunned if Kamara were the guy that they just went to as the workhorse. It seems like they'd have every incentive in the world to just pile on Ingram and go in that direction. But I mean, for obvious reasons that I've stated many, many times in the past, simply on a per touch basis, Kamara is very unlikely to be you know, a combination of Jim Brown and Eric Dickerson or whatever. So I'm going to go ahead and not play him really under any circumstances, even in big tournaments, because I think that's where his ownership will be higher. So Ingram, though, I think he's a diamond in the rough potentially. I think there still is a game where he out-touches Kamara and happens to get the touchdowns. And I see no reason why that wouldn't be this week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. And then we'll also, there are some other home favorites with running backs in good situations. But I was really prior in the article here, I really wanted to completely prioritize Bell as just saying he, for me, is just he's a runaway favorite. And there are other guys you can pivot. And I just really wouldn't do it in cash. And I do think you see him as the overall chalk. And then the last guy I wrote up here, just as a cheap play, because really what I was focused with this cash game article was making sure you could like realistically build a lineup. Like it would have been easy for me to write up Bell and then like Fournette and then a couple other expensive guys and all the expensive receivers. And I really don't like doing that because it's kind of disingenuous and frankly just kind of easy to just always choose the highest price guy. So I did write up Kerwin Williams as a lower price play if you're trying to prioritize those big money guys at the other positions. He's taken the full reins over in terms of the running back play here in Arizona, which really isn't saying much, but he's been decently effective without Peterson there. They have run him a little. They've run him kind of not as much as they were running Peterson, but a decent amount, a little bit involved in the passing game. Not only really a target here and there. And really what I'm looking at here is his $4,000 DraftKings price. I think the volume, the potential volume for him at 4,000 on DraftKings is enough to warrant some cash game consideration. I would easily pay the extra 1,000 for Kenyon Drake on FanDuel over him. It's not really a concern there. I'm really looking more at his DraftKings price at 4,000. All right, let's get into the wide receiver. Antonio Brown. He's the other guy. I think you just need to, I said it before, you just need to stack Bell and Brown together. Brown season is another one for just the complete ages. So in terms of just targets, he has 160 in the season. Hopkins has 155. They are completely skunking the field in terms of targets. And then this is what I thought was pretty crazy. He's on pace right now to finish in the top 10 of all times receptions in the season. And he's already number two and number four on the list. And I think he'll probably, judging by how this game probably goes and a couple of their games, as long as their playoff seeding could be locked in before the end of the season because they've already clinched the playoff berth. So there is some chance that we don't like get a full week 16 out of him. But if there's a possibility he ends the season, it's like three of the top 10 all-time receptions in a season. Any reason to fade him at all this week?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I threw out some platitudes about him the last time around. All of those still apply. Like he's basically the best receiver in the league, plus like another $6,500 receiver tacked on top of it. So I wonder if his true price on any given week should be like 12,000, 13,000. It's kind of weird actually, because, you know, I was looking at this, not for the cash game article, but just for trying to figure out who to play for cash this week. And it's interesting because like on one hand, we look at these guys and we're like, yeah, they're underpriced. But the thing is, if all of the most expensive guys are underpriced and you still do have to make decisions around all the most expensive guys, then maybe that's just the new type of decision you have to make. Because it used to be in some, especially in some DFS sports, it's like, can I play an expensive guy or can't I? Or can I play two expensive guys or can't I? And now the way the pricing algorithm's really been pushed, it's like you're going to play two expensive guys and a bunch of like cheap guys, but which two are you going to prioritize? And I think this week, Brown and Bell still are a cut above the rest. I mean, they're more expensive, but they're also just such tremendous values and, you know, kind of just on that absurd level. New England struggled against wide receivers, against wide receiver ones. Again, Pittsburgh has a lot of incentive just to run up the score to the highest degree that they can. And not that they're going to crush New England by any stretch, but I think they're going to be running and gunning and really trying their best because, you know, they've always kind of had that chip on their shoulder against New England as a Pittsburgh fan myself, Doug, as you know. I think that I think Brown is an easy one, and I'm not sharing any particularly new insights here.
He has 10% more fantasy points than DeAndre Hopkins, who's in second. He has 42% more points than Keenan Allen, who's third. The spread on these guys is just completely crazy. All right, we'll get on with some more wide receivers. Hit us up with the sponsor here.
Yeah, sure. So this weekend, as you're going in to play a little DFS, think about the No Halftime app. No Halftime is a great way to play daily fantasy sports in a totally different way than what you're used to. If you don't like the stress, the big salary cap things, worrying about like last night's NBA was totally insane. Guys coming and going, figuring out who the good punts were, all that stuff. For some users, that's simply too stressful. Another really fun way to play daily fantasy sports is with No Halftime. So you just pick one player that you think is going to be good this week, a guy you believe in. Maybe it's Russell Wilson. And then you can just issue challenges, Russell Wilson against all these different guys that you think he's going to outperform. Or you can go right into the app and figure out what kind of challenges people are putting out there, take the temperature of the DFS community, try to make some money along the way. So yeah, nohalftime.com, use promo code DFSR. You get a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first ever deposit. And I think you'll just have fun. So go check it out.
All right. The next wide receiver I wrote up here, Adam Thielen. I really like him this week. It's not the price consideration on him actually does make it somewhat close, I think, with Brown, although I still think we need to, not only if you're like, think you're starting to run out of money or if you're like completely starting to punt another position, but Thielen's been really good.
I think I'm starting to run out of money.
it's been independent of Diggs. Like Diggs hasn't sat out really. Diggs only sat out like two games this season. And so, but basically what happened was when Diggs sat those games out, Thielen just actually just came in and he just ended up becoming the wide receiver one and never relinquished the mantle, even with Diggs back around, because right. He's been, his targets have been completely, have just been really just elite. Definitely elite since it was like week four or week five. And the stat that I looked at the most, or that I was intrigued by the most for Thielen was, he's in the top 10 of red zone usage this season for all players, but he has by far the lowest conversion rate. So everyone else is 40% or above, mm-hmm. and most are just above their conversion rate in terms of red zone looks, and he's only at 29%. So there's a couple of ways to read
right,
that. One is
conversion rate generally is really good, right? So like, I think I like what you're putting down here, Doug. You keep going.
So I think there's a way that you can look at this and saying he's getting very unlucky on touchdowns. And so that's, and if you think that's the case, and if he's been unlucky on touchdowns by, I don't know, 11% at worst, you know, and then this, theoretically, like you said, like he's better converting just regular passes. Like most other guys were in their regular conversion rates, I think, when I kind of just eyeballed that. But you're looking at a guy who probably should be priced more like an $8,500 range if he was just running normal on catching his touchdown passes. So I think we are still buying very low on this guy. The matchup is not phenomenal here with Cincinnati. He does get something of a downgrade in terms of matchup, but I still just think the targets and the red zone usage are there, and I really like him. I think he's a fantastic tournament play, because I think we could see, I mean, there's like a potential to see possibly even like double digit touchdown receptions in a game, just how much they use him in the red zone.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really great observation. I think it's always interesting trying to figure out who's going to score the touchdowns, because there is something to getting over that last yard into the end zone that is actually a unique skill. Like Football Outsiders has looked into this in the past and determined that that was the case. I think part of it with like a guy like Thielen, for instance, is he will benefit in, say they're on their own 20-yard line, he will benefit from the fact that there are still 80 yards for the defense to cover. Now, they don't need to cover that whole amount, but they do need to trail Diggs down the field, whatever. Now, when they get down and there's only 8 yards to go, plus, you know, whatever, 10 yards of the end zone, the defenses can tighten up. They can put a little more pressure on a guy like Thielen. The, you know, cornerbacks and other safeties and stuff are just going to be closer nearby. So, like, in my mind, probably most people's conversion rate would go down as they got closer to the end zone. But if our finding, I mean, I think I want to look into this actually, because this is very interesting. If our finding though is that people generally catch as many passes as they're going to catch, then what you're saying is seems it to be absolutely spot on. And I would expect a big correction there to greatly to the benefit, because Thielen, if he has been running bad in touchdowns, he's greatly underpriced. So yeah, great call.
And then the last guy I had was Marquise Goodwin, and I'm mostly playing, I think we can still buy it on him, because it seems like he's Jimmy Garoppolo's number one wide receiver over the last couple of weeks, and yeah, the price just hasn't fully adjusted for a much improved quarterback play, and the fact that we were hoping that he would kind of end up becoming the possession guy or just like the heavy target guy from a better quarterback. And it really does seem like that's the case. So I think buying on him as like a little salary filling piece makes sense. And actually real quick, but I did look up the red zone usage. Basically my guess, I mean, so this season, Antonio Brown is converting 62% of his passes. His red zone percentage is 57%. So basically right in line with like where he was. And I'll go down the rest of this list. Oh yeah. Like DeAndre Hopkins is 44%. And I have a feeling he's like 56. So it looks like you're a little bit lower than your conversion. You're a little bit lower in the red zone than you are like overall for the season. But not by as much as Thielen is compared to like where he is. Like he's, I don't know, less than half of what his normal conversion rate for the season is. So I think there probably is something to that number. All right, let's finish it off here. Tight ends. I think Tight end, I just gave a list of just a bunch of guys. I don't think there's any reason to prioritize paying up for a tight end this week, just based on the guys that we just kind of threw out there between Bell, Brown, and then the most likely a expensive starting quarterback. That's going to chew up so much of your salary that it feels completely inconceivable to pay top dollar for like the Gronks or the Kelseys. Oh, okay, he's not on the main slate. Ertz, who's like still in the concussion protocol, I believe. even I'll be honest with you, even like Evan Ingram at 5,600 on DraftKings is like feeling a little bit too expensive. The only guy that I didn't put on here that I think is cheap enough to get close is Kyle Rudolph. And then I didn't write him up because he was seen in a walking boot earlier in the week. And that just kind of spooked me a little bit. He's sort of close in terms of right in that like middle tier, like 6,000 for him on and FanDuel will get you close. And otherwise I think that you're just going to want to go cheap. So I just threw a bunch of guys.
That's the big question.
I'm going to Garrett Celek. I threw Garrett Celek out there. He's seen an uptick and he's out snapping George Kittle at this point, 2-1 in their offense, and has seen targets over the last couple of weeks. Austin Seferian Jenkins in a game where they're probably going to be playing catch up. Now they have a new quarterback in Bryce Petty. So that's no great shakes, but he's 2,900 on DraftKings. And 5,500 on FanDuel. And then Charles Clay, if Tyrod Taylor is back under center there, which I think he will be, he seems like he's coming a little bit cheaper. So those are just three guys out there. And I think there's probably going
to
be some.
I can't say I super like any of those plays, just to be honest with you.
I don't like them either. But the thing is, this is where I was just trying to be honest. I could have written up Gronk, right? Like at 8,500, and it wouldn't
you
be.
You couldn't have written up Gronk.
Right. And there's a fine case to be made for playing Gronk. The thing is, though, what it sends the message is now, what are you doing? Are you playing? Because you can't play Gronk and those other guys I just mentioned. And I don't want anyone. It would be completely insane to prioritize him over like Antonio Brown and start like middling out some of your wide receivers. Right.
No, I agree with that. But it's just tricky, right? Because like Garrett Celek, 4 targets last week. The other guy, like Charles Clay, had 1 catch on 4 targets. Like these guys.
Well, that was a snow game. So I'm not.
Worse than either of those two guys, you know. By the way, Charles Clay the previous week, 3 targets, 3 catches for 20 yards. Like, it's not like, sure, going down to 2 catches for 11 yards is not good, but it's half of his production, I guess, from 20 yards. But I don't
know. And if you want to look down the listing. Go look down the list, and if you come up with a better one, you can edit the article. I'm not saying that like in a snarky way. I'm just being honest. Well, no, because I looked at this list. I mean, there are other guys you can consider too. They're all going to fall in this range, and mostly what I'm saying, like I'm just trying to say this enough. You have to just pump this position. Like if you're running lineups and you're removing any of the other guys, like if you're removing Antonio Brown, even to like pay up for Kyle Rudolph, right? Like that's completely incorrect. And of all the positions where you can, that have been pretty volatile, don't really have complete standout guys outside of the very top tier of like Kelce and Gronk. And the performances vary wildly, and just in terms of, like, cause they're never the first or usually second, and it's mostly just the best guys or like the third guy in the offense, you know, like Kyle Rudolph, right, is a good tight end, and we can't call him anything more than the third option in the passing game, and sometimes less. Like if you throw Jerick McKinnon into the passing game. So this is mostly what I mean. I get that these names are bad, but I'm just trying to, when I'm writing the article about like for general lineup construction, I'm trying to send the message that like you're just going to have to stomach a bad play, and probably likely just maybe like what we've talked about this in the past too, like just have a basket of cheap guys that you're playing cash games with, have your lineups be generally the same, and then switch these guys around.
Yeah,
and hope you get like. Hope you get Austin Seferian Jenkins, who like caught a touchdown the week before and had a call back. You know, Mercedes Lewis is another guy that kind of falls in here. Like,
how many points
very
you
cheap
get for a callback touchdown? Just out of curiosity, because I never know exactly how that scores.
Zero.
Okay. Zero. But so I got a couple. Let's throw out a couple other names. I totally hear what you're saying. I just wonder if we land on the right cheap guys. So Jesse James last week, I know that Ben threw 66 passes, but 12 of those were targeted at James. He caught 10 of them for 97 yards. Not sure that that's like what you can come to expect. He had 1 target the previous week, but I think if you look at his overall target share of the last, say, 4 weeks, he's probably a cut above those guys. Steven Anderson, I think, is still pretty interesting. He's a guy we looked at going into this week, goes down from 12 targets to 6, but 6 targets is still more than some of the other names out here. So I think there are probably some, not diamonds in the rough, rubies in the rough or something kicking around, but yeah, it's a tough week. And at some point though, right? Like you wouldn't play a guy who is projected for 0 points just to keep Antonio Brown in your lineup, right? Like,
we don't have any of these guys projected for 0 points.
No, I know, but I'm saying like there is some threshold to where we couldn't play Antonio Brown, I guess is my point. And I just don't want to get locked into that and put blinders on and just make a bad lineup just to play one guy. So
I'm totally with you, and that's not the case here. I mean, these guys do. They're not going to score 0 points. We're not butting up that close to the danger point, I don't think. And once we have some of the more of like set matchups, I think one or two guys will come out, and then you can update the article with all the great plays that I'm sure you came up with. All right, DFSR.com/NBA. We'll get you started with a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, Optimal Lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. You're all set to go free for 3 days, $34.95 a month. After that includes premium member chat where James and I are in there doing the same kind of thing that we're doing now, but just in typing form leading up in the lock. So go check that out, DFSR.com/NBA. We'll be back again tomorrow doing a full game-by-game breakdown of all the games for week 15, including the Saturday games and the Monday night games as well, because there's a bunch of different slates. All right, buddy, talk to you tomorrow.
Peace.